Hi, I'm Jared Sebesta. Here's the podcast for Repurposed. Enjoy the conversation.
Coaching swimming, I always wanted the best for my athletes. I was there to cheer them on. I was there coaching them. I always wanted to bring out the best in them. Now through speaking, I do the same. I want to share my story to have others realize you have value. You have purpose. You can't live in the past. You can't live with anger. You can't live with a chip on your shoulder.
Welcome to Repurposed, a show dedicated to inspire you to live a life of purpose, intentionality, and of impact. I'm your host, Jared Sebesta of Teaches Financial Group, a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota, where we teach and inspire true wealth. If you want more information on our firm, just go to our website, teachesfinancial.com. Well, on this episode of Repurposed, I'm bringing you a conversation with a good friend of mine named Holly Hoffman. Now, raise your hand if you are a fan of CBS's hit show Survivor. I'm sure there's a lot of you out there listening that have watched this show or are a faithful watcher. If that's you, chances are you have watched Holly before. She was on season one of Survivor Nicaragua, and Holly just about won that season of Survivor. In fact, she made it all the way to day 38 and was the 15th person voted out. Well, today she has her own repurpose. She does something totally different, but she would be the first to admit that her own life, including her experiences on Survivor, have shaped her to live out her purpose now in a much deeper way. Here's my chat with Holly Hoffman. Holly, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my honor.
Well, you are a busy gal. You are on the road a lot doing speeches, talks. Tell people what you do now.
I am. I travel all over the United States. I actually got a speech next year in the Bahamas in
nice.
February. So that's going to be great. But I'm doing something that I never expected. After I got off Survivor, I had some people contact me about coming and speaking at their organizations. And I just was like, okay, yeah, absolutely. And didn't think much of it. And my very first speech, I thought, I don't even know what I'm supposed to speak about.
Right.
So I did end up calling CBS and I spoke with Jeff Probst, and he gave me probably the best advice I've ever received. And that was, speak from your heart and tell your story. And first 2 years that I spoke, I traveled a lot around South Dakota, went to a lot of schools, did a lot of local things. And then I had a bureau reach out to me, a speaking bureau, which I didn't even know existed.
Right.
I said no. I didn't sign with them right away. And then I did a little more research and I thought, boy, you can turn this into a business. And that's when I wrote a book. I did sign with the bureau. I started speaking more and more and more. So far I've been to 40 states. My goal is to get to all of them.
Wow, good for you.
Have 7 agents. I've written 2 books, and it's a full-time job. So, yeah.
What are the titles of the 2 books?
Your Winner Within.
Okay.
And Write Yourself a Note.
And that's a new one, right?
Yes, Write Yourself a Note was released. It's probably been now about 5 months, and then that is also my new presentation, which I've done 4 times. It's something that I figured as a speaker, you know, I just can't have the one presentations. I also started doing breakouts. So I thought, I need to have a second keynote. But I haven't done it as much. People are still interested in hearing my Survivor story.
Yeah, well,
that's just been the main speech.
Sure. I want to get into that. I want to talk about Survivor. You mentioned you growing up in South Dakota, like, you're like 6 feet tall, like you're just in your face intense, like you don't come off as like the small town South Dakota girl, and that's no offense, by the way.
But talk
about your upbringing in South Dakota.
Well, you know, I graduated from a small school, Eureka, South Dakota. I graduated with 19 people. And so, you know, it was a small town, but I also think that small towns ground you.
Yeah.
Growing up, I had a very hard upbringing. My parents were divorced. My father was abusive. I actually grew up in an abusive home. And that's part of my story. And a lot of people didn't know that. And so when I started running, that was almost like my release. I would just go and run because I wanted to get out of the house because my father was just yelling and screaming and all the time. And that turned into a running career and so forth. But, you know, I still think growing up in a small town, the values and the relationships that you get with people, and that's so, so very important. So, you know, you always have to think about where you're going, but you always have to remember where you came from.
Yeah.
When I was on Survivor, I had so much support from my community, from the surrounding communities and so forth. And that really, really makes a difference.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I applied to be on Survivor, I was coaching swimming, and I coached swimming for 17 years and loved it. And our last one graduated, Elizabeth graduated, we dropped her off and college, and I thought, now what am I going to do? Cause I did go to Northern State University, but I didn't graduate. You know, I went there for 2 years and I thought, God, so I was going to go back to school and get an elementary education degree.
Gotcha.
I thought, I'm just going to throw this application in.
had you watched the show? Like, where did that even come
yes.
from? Okay.
Yes, I watched the show. I've watched every season, not every episode. And I didn't, in the back of my mind, I thought, oh, this is not real. You know, they make this stuff up. But my video wasn't very good. I did one video. I didn't have a script. I just did it. And I thought, I'll just sit in and see what happens. And they called me. And I thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just kept going and going and going. And I'll never forget the day one of my friends said to me, she turned to me and she said, you're going to make it. And I said, what do you mean? There's hundreds and thousands of people that apply to get on these shows. The season that I applied for, they said they had over 100,000 applications.
Whoa. And they pick, like, what, 20 people?
20 people, and it depends on the season.
Yeah.
Some seasons there's only 16, some there's 18, but the average is 20.
Okay.
But I didn't think I would make it, but I'm actually a true believer that everything happens for a reason, good or bad. And, you know, I turned to my faith to realize that,
yeah.
You know, because we all go through struggles in our lives. We're all human. We all have something. And whether you're, you know, you've been on a reality show or, you know, a speaker, whatever you are in life, we hit those things for a reason. And sometimes we need to figure those things out. And for me, I think it was I needed to figure out that I was a little bit stronger than I thought I was.
Yeah.
That's I really do. Because when I came back from doing that show, I felt like I was a much stronger person. It was the hardest thing I've ever done. But it was the most rewarding.
Tell people about the actual show. It was season 21, I believe, in Nicaragua,
yes.
Right?
So, yep.
Like,
mm-hmm.
So you find out you win. Like, how long from the time you find out that you're going to be on the show to where you are, like, literally getting on a plane and going to Nicaragua?
5 weeks.
Okay, so that's not a ton. Not a lot of time to prepare.
Not a lot of time. And they, you know, they have actually told people that they've made it. And 2 weeks before you're leaving, they say you didn't make it.
Oh.
So when they told me that I actually made it, it was the third week, I believe, in April, and I left the beginning of June.
Okay.
And I was gone for 2 months. But I always thought, that I kept thinking in the back of my mind, you know, okay, they told me I made it. They told me I made it. But I'm not going to believe this until I am on the plane. And I'm not going to really believe this until I step on the island.
And you lasted a long time. You made it all the way through day 38. Is that correct?
I did.
Okay.
I did. Yep. I was the last one voted off. And that's my whole storyline is I talk about many things in my presentation, but I got out there and I thought my adaptability was horrible. I just couldn't adapt because my vision was it wasn't real. And, you know, I throw that back to life as we all sometimes get into situations where we visualize something and it's a completely different situation than what we visualized and what is our reaction. And mine was I became extremely angry. I wanted to quit. There was no way I could do this. And then I had encouragement of other players and I thought, whoa, but you know, people can tell you that, but you're the one that has to change your visual.
Yeah.
You're the one that has to say, okay, this is the situation, and this is how I have to get through this.
Right. What was the,
yeah.
Like you said it was the most difficult thing you've been through. Do you mean physically, mentally, emotionally? Like, what was the biggest struggle?
It was, you know, physically extremely hard. I lost 22 pounds. You don't sleep. You don't eat. Mentally, it's hard because the paranoia is horrible because it is a game. You're helping your players get through day to day because, like, we slept in the pouring rain the first 17 nights we were out there. And so you're supporting each other. But at the same time, you have to remember in the back of your mind that this is a game. You have to get through this. You have to, you know, you do have to make alliances. You do have to scheme. How are you going to get to the next day? So for me, it was a little bit more, how do I say this? I didn't have a lot of independence. I always had people at my side helping me, which is great. I mean, I still do to this day, but I had to do this on my own. I was out there doing it on my own. It was something hard that I couldn't pick the phone up and get support from my family, or I couldn't send an email and say, what would you do in this situation? I had to figure this out.
Yeah.
And there was one day where I it also made me realize the value of what you have. You know, when everything is taken away from you, I wore the same clothes for 38 days. I didn't brush my teeth. I didn't wash my hair. You know, the value of, it's not what you have, it's right. Who you have.
Yeah. Yeah. Was it, just even the thought of going and sleeping outside in the rain is enough to, like,
yeah,
you know, cancel a lot of people out. Like, what
yeah.
how real was it? I mean, cause again,
it's real.
In the back of your mind, you're like, well, there's a camera crew and a production crew there. You know what I mean? Like,
how, you know,
when they do shows like this, how much of the realness are you experiencing on your side of the camera?
100%.
Really?
Okay. Yes. We did not sleep in tents. We did not sleep in campers. They brought camera crews in, but the camera crew is from Australia, and they switched camera crew every 12 hours. You had a camera on you 24 hours a day.
Oh, my goodness.
They never tell you what to say. They never tell you what to do. It is 100% true survival. Hmm. You know, unless something comes up. Like now this season, you know, the weather got really, really bad, and they did have to evacuate them off the island for a day. Hmm. So, you know, of course they're not going to let you die or something happen to
right.
you out there, but it is real. You sleep out there, you have to hunt. It is 100% real.
Wow.
Yes.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. So you're voted off day 38. The show is coming to an end. You fly back to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Life
mm-hmm.
starts to kind of, I guess descend back to quote unquote normal. What was it like kind of readjusting to life off of Survivor?
You know, it was hard. It took me about 6 weeks to really adjust to like eating again. I got really sick, did end up going to the hospital. You know, your whole body and your mind, my mind was totally off. I had nightmares about like bugs were always crawling on me. I had nightmares about monkeys attacking me. There are people that come out of this game and have to go to counseling.
Really?
And then I think the hardest, what really was hard for me was when I was announced I was on the show, I didn't expect, like, I remember the first time I was in Sioux Falls with my family and we were at a restaurant eating and someone came over to me and said, can I have my picture with you? Can I have your autograph? And I went, what? You know, it wasn't hard for me. It was just strange.
Yeah.
I think I can use that because, you know, I always said through this entire experience, I will stay true to who I am. And people would say to me, oh my gosh, are you moving to LA or New York? I'm like, no, I will live in South Dakota for the rest of my life.
Right.
You know, but that was different, you know, and still to this day, people will come up if they recognize me and say, they never know my name, but they always say, were you the lady on Survivor? You know,
yeah.
Were you the Survivor lady? You know, I had some kids recognize me in the grocery store one day, and they said, you know, can we take your picture? And I was like, oh, great. I have no makeup on. I have a baseball hat on. You know, but
right.
That's who I am.
Yeah.
I'm real.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it has changed. It for the better. I have a career. I always didn't know. I was always wondering what I was going to do with my life.
Hmm.
And it has just taken off.
Yeah.
So I, like I said, and I didn't know speaking was this big. I belong to the National Speakers Association. That's the great thing about it.
Yeah. Talk about like your purpose. Like I know it's kind of a big, you know, flashy word nowadays and it's getting thrown around here and there. You know, describe
mm-hmm.
how you view your life, you know, pre and post Survivor. Was what you're doing now always in you and Survivor brought it out? Or how, you know, you said, you mentioned too that I was always wondering what I was going to do with my life. Like, how do you, was this the thing that brought it out of you, or was it always part of your purpose and then it came to the forefront? How would you describe that?
You know, I always believe it's been in me. I needed to discover it. Coaching swimming, I always wanted the best for my athletes. I was there to cheer them on. I was there coaching them. You know, I always wanted to bring out the best in them. And now through speaking, I do the same. I want to share my story to have others realize you have value. You have purpose. You know, I try to motivate them to say, you can't live in the past. You can't live with anger. You can't live with a chip on your shoulder. And I truly believe it was always in me, but it took me taking one opportunity to discover it. And that's why I truly believe that when someone is really trying to find their purpose in life, you have to take absolutely every opportunity that you can take to discover what your true purpose really is. And I believe that the whole coaching thing helped me a lot because, you know, I always, like I said, I wanted the best for everybody. I've always loved being in productions. You know, I was always, I've been in plays and so forth. So the stage part doesn't bother me. I feel like I'm going to pass out before every speech because I get very, very nervous. But, you know, that's just, you know, public speaking is one of the hardest things you do. But I feel like this happened to me for a reason. And it made me really kind of discover who I was and that I do have a purpose. And it also made me realize that I do value people and I want people to realize they need to value themselves before they can value others.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Talk about, like you said, you know, take those chances. Not everybody's going to have a chance to go on a TV show and have this you know, kind of pulled out of them. What would that look like in just kind of, you know, everyday life? You know, people like me, how can I take a chance? What do you mean by that? How can the everyday person, you know, quote, go out and take a chance and try to have experiences pull purpose out of them?
Okay. Or not even, you know, I wouldn't use the word chance. I would use the word opportunity. You know, take opportunities. Let's say somebody approaches you to be on a board, you know, like say, hey, you want to be part of this fundraising board that we're going to do. We're coming up with this fundraiser because we want to build this building for, you know, something in your community. And you're like, oh, I don't know if I have the time. I don't know if I'm right for this. Well, you're never going to know until you try. You know, or let's say, you've always had a goal in your mind. Here's an example. I was at a speech one day and I gave my speech and a lady came up to me afterwards and she goes, you know, I've always wanted to take piano lessons, but I just never thought I could. And I'm in my 60s and I said, age doesn't matter. Right. I said, is there an age limit on taking piano lessons? And she kind of looked at me and 2 weeks later I got an email from her and she said, I started piano lessons.
There you go.
And we've kept in touch. And, you know, now she said she plays like in her church once in a while and she absolutely loved it. And she said, if I wouldn't have taken that opportunity to take piano lessons, I would have never discovered within myself that I have a little bit of music talent here.
Yeah.
You know, so just little things that it doesn't have to be a reality show. You know, just the you know, even just thinking of one of my words that I talk about is attitude. You know, how many of us think about that every single day? About, you know, what is your attitude like today? What kind of mood are you in today? What kind of, how do you want people to remember you? That's an opportunity. I know it sounds crazy, but it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You get a chance to go into businesses and talk about a lot of these same topics within a business. Like, what's the number one thing that businesses struggle with? For example, a company comes to you and says, hey, we want you to speak on this topic. Like, what are most people struggling with? You talked about adversity, attitude. Is there one that sticks out more than the other?
Now, this is something I don't touch on in my speech, but I do touch on it, but I don't. I don't mean to offend anyone when I say this as well, because I have millennials myself. They struggle with the millennials, if, you know, people have been in companies for 32 years and, you know, millennials come in and they want to be where the people are that have been there for 32 years.
Right.
You know, the generations, you know, that's the thing. And of course, I think every company I ever speak to talks about they struggle with people getting along.
Yeah.
You know, there, that's anywhere you are, right?
Yeah.
And I do say this in my presentation. I get to a certain spot and I say, I really try to talk about, relationships. You know, you can have the best of everything in life, the best car, the best house, but if you don't have the right relationships in your life with people,
yeah.
What do you really have?
Yeah.
And I say this in my presentation, you don't build a business, you build people, and the people build a business.
Mm, yeah, exactly. That's a great way to put
yeah.
it. Talk about your
yeah.
faith just a little bit. You touched on it briefly at the mm-hmm. beginning. How has just all of these experiences, you know, changed and maybe shaped your faith?
Absolutely. I do speak about 6 words in my presentation. And faith is one of them. It's faith, attitude, determination, confidence, desire, and perseverance. And faith is on the top of my list. I am a believer, and I prayed every single day I was out on that island.
Right.
And, you know, there are times where I will admit that this job gets lonely. You know, I travel alone. I fly alone. I'm in a hotel alone. I get up on the stage, and I'm in front of this big audience and I give my story, but then bam, you know, it's not where I'm with a company and I fly with 3-4 other people. But I've also realized because of my faith, I am never alone.
Yeah.
And we are truly never alone. This has also built my faith. I feel like I'm more faith driven. I feel like I knew I was always a believer. I go to church. Our children went to Sunday school. I was a Sunday school superintendent, but I also am a believer in this way. It's not just go to church, listen to the sermon and leave. It's also about your actions. Mm-hmm. You know, a true Christian shows that they are a Christian.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all have hard times. We all get angry. We all fly off the handle once in time, but
yeah.
It's also about how you handle those situations.
Exactly right.
So
yeah.
Yes.
I like
and
that.
That's also in finding your purpose as well. You know, I truly believe that God has a purpose for all of us. And by believing in him and putting your true faith in God, that's where your purpose is really going to come out.
Yeah. Well put. Well put. Before I let you go, this is a question I ask all my interviewees. How can we have more impact? Is there something, just maybe something simple that we can do, you know, even today or on a daily basis with the people around us, just to have more impact and influence on the people around us?
You know, it's something that is so simple, but is our society getting away from the little things in life? Opening the door for someone, sharing a smile, giving someone a compliment. It seems like everybody, especially around the holidays, you know,
yeah.
or, you know, everybody's so busy, you know, we have no time. You know, look at your priorities and say, isn't it more important to give someone 15 minutes of your time than to, oh my gosh, I've got to get those gifts done. I got to,
right.
it's so, and I have to remind myself of that.
Yeah,
but,
me too.
You know,
yeah.
I think impact comes from treating people with kindness, saying hello to someone, shaking people's hands. And that's how everybody can impact everyone else.
Yeah.
The world needs a little more kindness.
I would definitely agree. Great stuff. Holly,
yeah.
Before I let you go, we got about 30 seconds left. Where can people
okay.
find more about you and your books?
Yes, on my website at hollyhoffman.org. There's contact right there. You can actually order my book off my website, and it is also on Amazon. If you contact me directly through my website, I will make sure to get you a book, and I'll even sign it for you if you would like. And if you need a Christmas gift, hey, check my website out.
That's
so,
right.
So that's hollyhoffman.org.
Got it. Holly, it's been great to know you. I see you out on a speaking tour a number of times, and you are just a delight. And God bless
you,
and keep up the great work.
God bless you. Well, and thank you so much for having me. This is truly an honor. Thank you.
You are welcome. Well, I sure hope you enjoyed this conversation with Holly Hoffman. She is such a delight to be around and to chat with. I love her approach on living with purpose. She talked about taking advantage of every opportunity, not only to serve people, but to let God use that opportunity to expose and even draw out a deeper purpose inside of us. And that's exactly how her life has been, and that's what Survivor did. But you don't have to be on a reality TV show for this to happen. I think there's everyday opportunities that we can do, again, not only to serve people, but to have God draw a deeper purpose out of us. What a great way to live. Again, for more information on Holly Hoffman, just go to her website, hollyhoffman.org. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of Repurpose. Just a reminder, this show is based on a book by Ben Tejas called Repurpose, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. If you want the first two chapters of that book totally free, just go to our website, tejasfinancial.com. You'll see a little button that says Heard Us on the Radio in the upper right-hand corner. And also a big thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, visit myfaithradio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta. We'll see you next time on Repurposed. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast of Repurposed. This media is only available because of listener support just like you. If you want to make a gift right now, you can go to the website, myfaithradio.com. And if you do that, we would appreciate that so much. Also, thanks in advance for sharing these podcasts with your friends online. It's an easy way to help spread the impact of Repurposed. And just one more thing, subscribe. You can find Repurposed on iTunes or your favorite podcast player.